5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Saddle set, it's go!
Hello, this is Patrick Jordan on Ten Radio, and welcome to another edition of Somerset is Go. I've got Eddie Gaines with me, and our guests in the studio today are Elliot Fort from BusinessLink and Rebecca Bevins from Pardo's Bevins. And thanks very much for coming, guys. Well, today we're going to be talking about going it alone, from startup to success. We're talking about the idea of starting your own business and how to do that successfully, the emotions, the mechanics, the business link behind it. But first of all, I'd like to know a little bit about you as our guests. Elliot, you're from BusinessLink. You're an advisor. Can you tell us what you do and what BusinessLink does?
Sure. BusinessLink is a government-funded contract, and I go out and see businesses, whether they be startup or existing, growth companies, people with ambition, and free of charge. And I discuss all aspects of their business. So it might be sales and marketing, it might be regulations, could be anything that's a challenge they face.
Yeah, and I mean, I've come across BusinessLink, excellent guys, I can tell you that. I've got my own little business and had a lot of free and very helpful advice. And now, Becky, you're a small business person as well, aren't you? Or growing business, in fact. And can you tell us a bit about what you do and how that's grown?
Yes, Pat, I run a business called Pardo's Bevins Human Resources. Started off as a sole trader under the name of Rebecca Bevins, and have grown into a limited company, now running for 5 years. Our main type of business is acting as an HR or personnel department for small companies to medium and some large companies as well.
Okay, so quite a varied clientele base by the sound of it.
Absolutely.
Now, Elliot, I mean, in Somerset, obviously, we have a number of small businesses, a number of people working for themselves, either as sole traders or as limited companies. As a BusinessLink advisor, have you seen a growth in the number of people going in it alone, or is that something on the way down or stable? How's it look panning out at the moment?
I think that it's pretty stable, actually. I think there's different reasons people are starting up.
Yeah.
I think maybe 4 years ago, people were starting up with opportunities. I think now some people are in situations where they feel they have to start up.
Okay, because they're not getting on in the job market.
Exactly. Maybe they're not happy in their current job, or they have to leave their current job. But whatever the reason, recession or not, there's always opportunities for business.
Sure, and that's something we're going to be touching on a lot as we go through the program. Now, Becky, I mean, what brought you to the point where you decided to go it alone?
I think it was something I'd always wanted to do. And whilst I'd thought about it a lot, I couldn't see a way of doing it. I felt having a career, being the main breadwinner, it was difficult for me to give up my salary, a monthly salary, to go it alone. However, I was then put into consultation for a redundancy process, and I saw it as an opportunity and decided that I wouldn't take a new role that was offered to me, and that I would go out alone and start my own business. So I think for me that I needed a little bit of a push, and I got that push at the right time.
So circumstances kind of nudged you into it gradually.
Yep.
And I think it's fair to say it's all gone pretty well so far.
I'd like to think so. I still keep my fingers crossed.
Okay, thanks. Well, we're going to come back to you both in a few minutes. We're going to have some music first. And our first song is Simply Red with Holding Back the Years.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as Ten Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.
Hello, you're back with us on Ten Radio in our Somerset Is Go series. I'm Patrick Jordan, I have Eddie Gaines with me, and our guests in the studio today are Becky Bevins and Elliot Ford. Now, we've been talking a bit about your backgrounds in BusinessLink and your own company, respectively. Now, one of the things we're following through is local businesses in Somerset who are making a success of it or hitting hard times or having great times, whatever it may be. And we have a real success story on our hands here with a company called Orchard Pig. They're based in central Somerset and make cider. Now, I caught up with their managing director, Neil McDonald, and this is what he had to say about the start and formation of the company. I'm with Neil McDonald, director of Orchard Pig, and we're at West Bradley Orchard, which is the home of Orchard Pig. Welcome to the show, Neil.
Thank you.
And thanks very much for taking the time out to speak to us today. Now, I mean, many of us in Somerset and probably further are going to recognise your product now. We see it in the shops, we see it in the bars, we see it in the restaurants. But your business is quite new, isn't it, really? It's only been going a couple of years.
That's absolutely right, Patrick. Yes, we've been officially running now for about 2.5 years. And it was started by my business partner, Andrew Quinlan, and myself some time ago, but we sort of officially went into it with all gusto 2.5 years ago. Prior to that, we did an awful lot of messing around in the back shed, and funnily enough, we picked up the name The Orchard Pig because we both have a passion for Gloucester Old Spot pigs and still keep a few of those today. But our wives were suggesting that we ought to call it Two Men in a Shed, but we thought that wasn't quite appropriate. But yes, we did spend a lot of time out there, and Andrew and I decided about 2.5 years ago to amalgamate our other various interests that we had into one, and you know, go together in a uniform way to push the Orchard Pig.
And just for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with Orchard Pig, you're a company that makes cider and apple juice, is that right?
We are indeed, yes. We're quite interested in that respect. Yes, we are young and relatively innovative about what we're doing, but we're certainly using traditional methods. We make cider and apple juice, but we also have a wing that specialises in looking after orchards. And so our roots are firmly planted here in Somerset and in traditional Somerset orchards. We're very fortunate to have our base here at West Bradley Orchards, where quite a large percentage of our juice fruit is produced. Somerset's very well off for cider fruit, bittersweet cider fruit, but actually West Bradley Orchards is one of only two farms left in Somerset that is producing dessert or eating grade fruit. And I'm sure your readers might know, but you know, juice fruit can only be or juice can only be made from apples that are picked directly off the tree and not off the floor in a cider situation.
Okay, so you set this operation up here, and I mean, for you personally, you've been in the world of farming, I guess, for many years, haven't you, one way or the other?
Yeah, my background is very much agricultural. Yeah, we have a family farm not too far from here, predominantly cereals and a little bit of cider orchard. But I branched into specialising more in orchards about 6 or 7 years ago, and Orchard Ground Force, which I formed back then, which was this specialist orchard management company, which looks after in excess of 800 acres of orchards here now in Somerset, and always looking for more and taking on more, and that can be anything from contract pruning and spraying and fertilising particularly harvesting and that sort of thing. So we have a great relationship with our growers and an opportunity for our growers to sell their fruit to us.
And how did you actually move into orchards in the first instance?
Well, I came here to West Bradley Orchards, as I said, about 7 years ago, to help out the owner, Edward Clifton Brown, absolutely superman, and who's still very much involved here at West Bradley Orchards. Came to do some pruning for him to help out and was never really allowed to leave.
You ended up taking it on yourself?
Well, yes, very much so. I mean, we still are very much tenants here at West Bradley, and Mr. Clifton Brown still runs the orchards. We, in our contracting capacity, look after them on his behalf, and that is the way we are wanting to go forwards as well. It's much more, you know, to get people involved by, you know, owning the orchards and taking ownership of them, but you know, we're very happy to provide the services and the management and the skills to make them viable.
Okay, so what you're doing in a way here, then, is kind of aligning two complementary businesses, the juice business and the orchard management business.
Very much so. I mean, when I came to West Bradley Orchards 6-7 years ago, you know, there was a real difficulty going on with the market of both cider fruit and dessert fruit. And just before I arrived here, very sadly, quite a lot of the acreage here had been grubbed out just for it being completely unviable. What's very exciting now is that all the fruit here produced on the farm, and we've been planting new trees very heavily for the last 2 years, it is spoken for before it's produced. So, you know, adding value through the cider and apple juice brand has been fantastic for West Bradley Orchards and many other local orchards around us. And our aim very much is to put Somerset back on the map as an apple growing country, you know, county, and put some of these old orchards, restore them back, and see their crops going to good use. We're importing somewhere in the region of 68% of our apples and pears in this country, and you know, it's very sad that we can't be, you know, maximising more of that opportunity here. There's no reason why we can't, and there's good financial incentive to do so.
So that's a great incentive for your business as well, isn't it? And I mean, if I look back at your career, because you, what many would describe as a serial entrepreneur, I mean, I remember you from doing my sister's wedding, of course, with your hot growth company.
Serial entrepreneur, serial nutter, I'm not sure which one it is. But yes, I've been a self-employed person in one form or another for some time. I really do enjoy the challenge of running my own business. I'm not sure I'm employable anymore, and I think a lot of self-employed people turn around and say, well, nobody would employ me anymore, I'm this, that, the other. But I think as a self-employed person, you have to learn to kick every tire and light every fire and be the all things, you know, all dancing, and do every aspect of it. And I certainly had a business prior to this, which was rare breeds, dealing with rare breed meats, processing and producing rare breeds of meat, and that business didn't work for me, and because I was doing it alone. And I think I learned from that actually that many of the skills required to run a good business I didn't have, and I needed a partner to help me do that. And I've certainly found that in my current partner Andrew Quinlan, and Andrew and I have since taken on other shareholders and directors to help us grow the business where we hope this one's going to take us. But I think one always wants to be aware of, you know, just what skills you have and that are required to run your own business. It's like having another child, I think, for your own business. It does tend to rule your life.
I can imagine. So, I mean, if we look back at your history, in a sense, you've done a number of things on your own, some of them successful, some of them less so. But things really took off then when you found this sort of working partnership with Andrew. Now, how do you divide your labour, as it were, your focus?
Well, Andrew and I often joke about the concept that I'm the dirty end of the business and he's the clean end. But, you know, my background being agricultural, I'm very much the worthy end of the brand, if you like. I am the sort of production and logistics side of things, the agriculture, the growing of the fruit, the operations, the pressing and bottling of the fruit. Andrew's much more the administration, sales, and you know, has taken the role of managing director in this case as well. So, you know, without sales you don't have a business, and without products you can't have sales. So the two are very comparable and two are very important. Now, you know, some people may find they have both those skills. You know, I certainly found that difficult. And I think too, the faster you grow, the more focused you need to be on the bit that you're good at. So that's how we've divided it up, and thus far, and it's gone exceedingly well, and I can see it growing into something that we both hope it will be.
That was Neil McDonald, Managing Director of Orchard Pig, telling us how he got his business off the ground and why it's been a success so far. Now, an interesting thing that came out of that, and I know you'll relate to this, Becky, is that Neil pinpointed that it really took off when he got into partnership with Andrew Quinlan, his co-director. Now, that's something which you've also done in your business, isn't it? You've partnered with another business person.
Yes, we did. Initially, the business was set up, as I said, as a sole trader, and then converted in, as we grew, to a limited company. However, one of the areas that we felt unable to offer our clients was extra expertise in the world of employment law, tribunals, and having an employment lawyer on board. So we were able to join forces with a local solicitors to provide those extra skills, and believe now then what we offer is the complete package.
Now, it's interesting from your point of view, because you have been entirely on your own at some point, haven't you, before then, and now you're working in a partnership, and obviously there are great benefits in that, and I'm not going to ask you to tell me about the disadvantages because they might be listening. But what's the real difference between being in a partnership and going it completely solo?
I think when you're on your own, it can be quite lonely. You have to make the decisions. The decisions stop with you. I think some of the benefits of being in partnership is that there's a different skill set that comes along to that partnership, that there is somebody else at a similar level, or often to yourself, in which to bounce ideas around with and off of, and use their experience of their business to be able to pick the best from both.
So you're kind of bouncing off each other, and the two is more than the two individuals in a way.
Definitely.
Okay, now Elliot, so an interesting thing that Neil also mentioned there was when you start up on your own, particularly if you are literally on your own, you have to sort of kick every tire, you have to do everything. Mm. I mean, in your experience as a business advisor, do you feel that's something that most of us can do, or is there a definite personality that is associated with being a successful small business person?
I think personality helps. I don't believe that you have to be born an entrepreneur. I think you can learn it. I think you have to learn it probably from experience. And I thought it was interesting what Neil said, that his first business was not such a success. And that I perceive what he said there is it was a good training course.
Yes.
You know, not doing it well was probably the best training course he ever did. It's probably an expensive training course. But now he's Orchard Pig Cider.
Exactly.
So, in terms of the partnership, I think partnership, exactly what Becky said, is an excellent idea. I think you have to have a very clear partnership agreement in terms of reference on how you work together. Because when things are going well, it's very easy. You need to know what the boundaries are. Even if you're a sole trader, though, you can still have somebody with you. So there's coaches and mentors and even friends who've done it before, who you should align yourself with, who you can talk to who are outside the business. So, the benefits of partnership, I totally agree with. As a sole trader, still find someone who can talk to you on that level.
Okay, so there's always someone out there to help, whether it be another person who's been through the same thing, whether it's formal services of business think or any other organizations that may be around to help. And we'll come back to that a bit more, Elliot, and signpost people to some of those services later. We're going to be back with Neil McDonald's interview soon, but let's have another piece of music. And we're going this time with Scouting for Girls and Elvis Ain't Dead.
When I was young, I never knew what this thing called love could do to you. But since you've been gone and I've been on my own, I've been feeling quite peculiar. But I'll get by without your smile, and I'll get through without you. But I wish it was me you chose. I wish it was me you chose. I wish it was me you chose. I'm all shook up and I'm lonesome tonight. I think I need a love lobotomy. But I'll get by without your smile, and I'll get through without you. But I wish it was me you chose. 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 Maybe we were never meant to be. Elvis isn't dead, Elvis isn't dead, Elvis isn't dead, 'cause I heard him on the radio. Elvis isn't dead, Elvis isn't dead, Elvis isn't dead, and you're coming back to me. I know Elvis isn't dead, Elvis isn't dead, Elvis isn't dead.
Welcome back to Somerset Is Go. Our topic of today's show is Going It Alone, from Startup to Success. We're looking about how to start your own business, how to make a success of it, and some of the pros and cons along the way. I've got Eddie with me, and our guests in the studio today are Elliot Fort from BusinessLink and Becky Bevins. Now, we've just had Neil McDonald talking there about his business and how he started it up and some of the issues associated with that. What we want to do in this next segment is to look at tips for starting your own business and how you would advise people to go about that. Now, before we come on to your views, let's have a listen to Neil again. Now he's talking about his own experiences and what he would advise others to take into account.
Okay, back with Neil McDonald, and in the last segment we were talking about your business partnership with Andrew and how you have complementary skills in many ways that has helped you both succeed in this area. But so more generally, what kind of tips would you give to people who are thinking of starting up on their own, going out there and being self-employed?
Patrick, that's an interesting question and one I've got to be careful how I answer, because as I think I intimated before, you know, it does become like having another child. I think passion is the key to all success, but with a caution that behind passion there must be some good logic to what you're doing. And you either are the sort of person that enjoys all aspects of the business or you're not. And if you're not, then be sure that you've got somebody behind you who can complement your skills. I think that's a very important part. I think the other thing too that I think is important when you start a business is that phrase, keep it simple, stupid. You can become desperately overcomplex and get bogged down very quickly in things that perhaps are not viable. So be sure you cut to the chase of what it is that's going to put bread on the table and how regularly that bread is going to be on the table. And that really comes down to good planning. I'd say to anybody who is thinking about starting a business, be sure you spend good time in reconnaissance. Be sure you do some good planning and think it through very carefully how it's going to work out. So many businesses or people go into business because they just fall into it. It just happens. It just seems the logical next move. And that's great. And that's how it's happened for me on a couple of occasions. But I think I've learned over those couple of occasions that perhaps a little prior planning might have been sensible.
So passion, simplicity and planning, that's Neil McDonald's take on how to run a small business. Would you go with that, Elliot?
I would. I think that's core principles to follow when you start up. Another tip I would give people is to be sure you're doing the right thing, to really explore it, and Neil touched on it, about market research, I would call that, to look at your idea, don't drive on pure faith, blind faith, ask your customers for sure, to say, is this going to work? You don't know for sure, but it's not a bad indication. The other thing I'd say is you have to be focused and disciplined, and kicking every door and everything else. You know, having to do everything, I recognise that when you're on your own you have to do that. But, you know, you're a valuable asset and you are an asset as a business person, and you should know that, and you should equate your value, and every hour you put in, you should know it's for the right reason and for the right objective. And I'm going to use a quote, P.T. Barnum, great showman from the 1800s.
Yep.
I think this still applies. He said, decide the one thing you want to do and do it with all your might. Now, you have to understand what that means. All your might, that means you have to put everything into it. And if you don't go into it with that mindset, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I think is funny, because we've interviewed a lot of people, small business people, and passion comes back again and again. And I think that's what helps people to have that focus, isn't it? If it's something you love doing, that you don't mind spending those hours on, you really want to throw yourself into it. And, you know, you see that so often. And I think that is, in a sense, what Barnum's talking about, isn't it? That thing you really, really want to do. I mean, was that the case with you, Becky? Is that something which was passion or underlied your business when you got under the ground?
I think, yes, there was certainly passion. There was a determination. It was, I wanted to succeed. I wanted to work for myself. That was my goal. But along the way, I wanted to build a business, and especially the business that I have, that helped other people and gave people a service and somebody that they could rely on. And yes, you become everything. I can remember working certainly in the early days, and one day you have to be the accountant, and then you have to be the company secretary, and then you have to be the washer-upper, and then you have to go and buy tea and coffee, and you still have to run your business. You still have to then be able to go out and do work that you can then invoice for to keep the money coming in.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting what Elliot was telling us there about the idea of market research, understanding what your market is. Did you do a lot of that before you set up?
I did. I was somebody that went along to BusinessLink. I met with an advisor. I went through a business plan with them that I'd put in, and part of my business plan was looking at market research and who else was doing what I was intending to do. And it opened my eyes. Going through that process of writing a business plan really opened my eyes, and I think, and I hope, prepared me for some of what I was going to face. Not everything. It couldn't prepare you for everything, I don't believe. It certainly helped.
So it's really this combination of having the drive, but also being realistic about it, understanding what the market conditions are and all those kind of things. And I know that Elliott Business Link has a number of services that you provide to help people make that assessment.
Yes, we do. There's a startup workshop series that you can attend free of charge. There's a preliminary session for half a day where they will just talk to you about what it means to be on your own and to run your own business in respect of your life, really. If you decide that you still want to do it, there's a series of 3 one-day workshops on business planning and regulations, sales and marketing, and finance and accounts. And I would say that those three things are probably the building blocks, the foundation of everything else you're going to do. And if you don't have that foundation at the start, you can still get it, but it's going to be more painful along the way.
Yeah, and those are excellent courses. I know from experience I've been on those, and thoroughly recommend them. And at the end of the show, we'll give out web links, telephone numbers, etc., that people might need. But let's have another break for some music. What we're going to do now is go to the Waterboys, I believe, Eddie, with Hole of the Moon.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as Ten Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.
Hello and welcome back to Somerset Is Go. Today we're talking about from startup to success, how to make a success of your own business. Now, one of the things we've been looking at in our programme is the story of Orchard Pig, the Somerset-based cider-making company. And we heard from Managing Director Neil McDonald. We're hearing now from his partner, Andrew Quinlan. And Andrew is going to tell us a bit about the lifestyle associated with running your own business. Here's what Andrew had to say.
Okay, so we've talked a bit about how you got into having an orchard and your interest in pigs and things. And you met Neil because of the orchard, and he had this orchard management business. And that was, in a sense, the catalyst for Orchard Pig. How did that come about?
Well, funny enough, actually, Neil's brother, Angus, and I flew together out in Northern Ireland in the early 90s. And Angus was Royal Naval Helicopter Pilot, and I was flying for the Royal Marines out there. Angus was local to here as Neil's brother and introduced us, and that's how we came to meet. And Neil had these pigs in particular at the time and was just beginning to get really interested in the orchard side of things. And he also had lots of trucks and tractors and to help me, so it just sort of happened. We became friends and we just started doing things together as a hobby.
And I mean, that can be one of the great strengths of a business, when you get on well with someone, you've got complementary skills, and you're there to sort of support each other and bounce ideas off each other.
Well, absolutely. I think, we always joke about it, but, if we have to describe what we both do, and I don't know if Neil said that, but he does the dirty end of the business, I do the clean end of the business, and, that pretty much sums it up. You know, he certainly looks after it from the bud, if you like, to the bottle, and I look after it from the bottle onwards, although there's a murky bit in the middle, because I do a lot of the MPD and certainly made all the cider originally. And so on, but there is a bit in the middle that's murky and responsibility wise. We both get involved with that, and we're actually just trying to recruit now to strengthen that area, because Neil's real passion and expertise is, if you like, up to the apple stage.
Yeah.
And my passion expertise, I suppose, is from the bottle stage, so we're just trying to recruit at the moment to strengthen that knowledge in the middle bit, because we've both muddled through that in the last couple of years, and that was absolutely fine, because at the size we were, but as we're growing, we need a bit more expertise in there.
I can imagine. And then with you, you've had quite a long and varied career of doing different things. I mean, you're originally in the military, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
What kind of things have you been doing since then?
After I left school, actually, the joke is I'm still in my gap year. I wanted to be a farmer, and I had placed at university to go and do land management and agriculture. I'd been to boarding school, so I was living at home then, and it was just all a bit new. I spent 2 years as a farm labourer, and in the end joined the Royal Marines. And largely, the joke was my mother told me to, because she was getting fed up with me doing nothing in particular. I didn't particularly mean to join the Royal Marines, but at the time I met a guy that I thought was absolutely fantastic just after the Falklands, or round about the Falklands time. And this guy, his glass was always half full, if not fuller. And a number of just things happened for me to go and join the military. So I spent 8 years in there. And then I left there and I wanted to work in the food side of things. And that's why I started looking in FMCG. But funnily enough, got my first job with Pedigree Pet Foods in sales and marketing, which, obviously isn't food or human food, but it was still in the right sort of area. And a part of the Mars Corporation, I certainly thought that was a good place to start my civilian career. And so I went to them, and I spent 3 or 4 very happy years there and learnt a hell of a lot. And I actually ended up managing the Asda account, which was great.
Okay, so it's been quite varied, but is this your first try at entrepreneurship as such?
To a certain degree. I mean, after I worked for Pedigree Pet Foods, I had a short spell with MBNA International Bank, which just wasn't for me. It was the banking industry was too much. I got seduced by a wonderful pay package, but it wasn't for me. So I bailed out and went back to what I knew I enjoyed. And I worked for Bacardi Martini for 2 or 3 years. And then my wife's a dentist. She was a Navy dentist. We met down at Limpston when I was training recruits back in the mid-80s. And we set up our own dental practice in the street. And I set up a small consultancy specialising in helping dentists run the business side of dentistry. And at one stage I had, I suppose, about half a dozen different dental practices I managed regularly. I did some work for the NHS, I did lots of other bits and pieces and stuff. So we got the practice really going, and I think it was very successful. We sold that about 2 years ago, simply because I just couldn't do, I couldn't keep doing the dental stuff and Orchard Pig. So we took some of the capital from that and invested it in Orchard Pig, and Hilary still works there as an associate. So I suppose that was our first go at our own business.
And that was successful, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it depends on what you determine success as. I mean, lots of people tell me Orchard Pig's doing really well and must be successful. You know, in my view, and I think in Neil's view, we've hardly started yet. You know, we're still very much in the embryonic stage. We've got through that crucial first 2 years as a small business, but you know, anything can rear up and bite you on the bum.
Okay, so we've talked a bit about your background and the various careers you've had and how you came to have your own businesses, first in dentistry and now in the cider business. But in terms of not only, you know, income but also lifestyle, what's the big difference between being self-employed and working for somebody else as far as you've experienced it?
It's a difficult question in some ways, because I think in some ways for me it's just been a natural progression. And actually, after I started the business consultancy for dentists, I went to some small seminar run by Lloyds Bank, and the guy stood up there and said, "You're all here because you're unemployable." And actually, to a certain degree, I'm probably an unemployable now, because one of the great things about having your own business is you can just get on and do it. So especially in large business, can be a lot of procrastinating about, you know, whether you're going to do something or you're not going to do something. With us now, if we have a good idea, we just get on, and a couple of weeks later, it's happening. So I think that's the really satisfying thing. So you really do have, you know, you really got your hand on the tiller, and especially when you're small like us, then you can make things happen. And you know, for example, you know, we are, I believe now, one of the few, if not the only one, kegging, putting real cider into kegs in Somerset.
Yeah.
Now, we had that idea, you know, 6 months ago, and now we're doing it, and we're selling it very successfully. There's been a steep learning curve along the way, but you know, we've just got on and done it, and you know, that's the thing I really love about it. We can get your heads together, you know, say this will work, and just do it. And that will happen in some other places where you're working for somebody else, but I think that's the overall beauty of it. You have real control of what you can do. You just need to try and have the people that are working with you to have a similar sort of view on everything. And you know, I suppose more than anything, everyone's got to have a half full glass. And that's the key thing. I mean, when we employ people, we look at people that we think are passionate about it and really want to, you know, make Orchard Pig succeed. But that will give them a buzz too. So as long as you get the right people and that sort of thing, then I think that really helps.
So that was Andrew Quinlan, co-director of Orchard Pig. And Becky, one of the things Andrew particularly mentioned there was the idea that as a small business, you're much more flexible and in a sense dynamic in terms of choice making. Is that something you've noticed?
Definitely. You don't have to wait for red tape. The decisions, you know, they stop with you. I think sometimes that can work the other way. I learned certainly in the early days that making decisions very quickly, whilst you might need to sometimes it's actually a good idea to stop and think and maybe take some advice from external advisors, etc., to help you make those decisions.
Okay, and so that's one aspect of it. I mean, in your own personal experience, what other differences have you really noticed in your lifestyle between being self-employed and working for a big company? Because you used to work for Safeways, didn't you?
I did. I was an HR operations manager in the Southwest, so I used to travel a lot. I used to work long hours. I still work long hours. I still travel a lot, but I think it's different because I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for my business. It's something I really want to do, and something that I know that if I don't do, I won't be successful. So there's that loop all the time, that you have to do one thing to be successful, and to keep being successful you have to keep on doing those things. So it just keeps going round and round in a loop.
I mean, an interesting point Andrew made there, kind of jokingly, probably half seriously, is that many self-employed people are almost become unemployable because they're so used to working for themselves. Would you think that applies to you? Or
I think now I would be, if I look back, if I was to put myself back into the role that I took redundancy from, I think I'd be very frustrated. I think I'd be frustrated with the amount of red tape, the amount of things that you had to get authorisation for, the amount of decisions you weren't allowed to make, which made common logical sense to you, but could take weeks sometimes for somebody to make that decision, and often you missed opportunities. And yes, so I don't think I would be able to work within those constraints anymore.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I'm self-employed, I'm the same. One thing that perhaps comes out of that though, Elliot, is that being self-employed has to be something I think you throw yourself into, isn't it? It can't be something you do as a little bit of a stopgap just to tide you over. At least that's the impression we're sort of getting from these interviews. I mean, how would you see that?
I think you have to go into it with open eyes and recognise self-employment or being your own business person for what it is, which is you will work long hours, Your mind will never be on holiday. Your family are in the business, even if they don't work for your business. They will experience what you're experiencing. So by no means is it an easy choice. The plus side is you control your own destiny. You have complete freedom. I can guarantee you a pound earned for yourself emotionally is worth 10 working for someone else. And you can fulfill your life goals, which isn't always easy when you work for someone else. And of course, can't leave it off, you have the potential to make a lot more money.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, the interesting thing, those all those things you've said, I think that, you know, as a self-employed person, I certainly recognise the idea that the fact you control things, the fact that it's up to you what you do, the fact you can chase your dreams. I mean, again, we've talked about the idea that you have to do it in a logical, sensible way, but, you know, it's all about what you want to do rather than having to worry about what other people are telling you to do. And I think that's very liberating, very motivating. Now, we're going to bring Eddie in here. Now, Eddie's quite a lot of experience of working in the job centre, haven't you, Eddie?
Well, that's right. And and I can empathise with what Becky's saying there, because we were forever working to other people's priorities, whether it be whatever my district office wanted or the government wanted. And yet I have my own ideas as to how to run the job centre and how to do things best for my clients, you know, the customers that were coming in. And yet I was forever sorting out other people's priorities. And if I wasn't sorting out the outside population priorities, I was sorting out the priorities of my staff. And my first job centre management job was at Kensington in London, at High Street Kensington. And I'd only been there about 4 weeks, and I said to my deputy, I think we'll run a jobs fair here. And he looked at me as if I was crazy. He said, oh, we tried that 4 years ago and it never worked. But I ended up organising a jobs fair in a local community centre, which ran for a whole week and had about 50 employers coming along to. And I talked to all those employers. I got to know what those employees' needs were. And I also invited all the clients to come along and sign at the jobs fair. So it was actually putting a different spin on how to run a jobs fair. And it was one of the most successful jobs fair. And people were coming down from Sheffield and whatever to actually see it. And I just sort of, you know, made it up as I went along, you know, because it was a fresh idea at that time. And it was in the middle of a recessionary situation in London. The thing about going self-employed, or run your own business, you are then sorting out your own priorities most of the time.
And you can try those different things, can't you, Eddie? I mean, it sometimes may work, sometimes it may not. You'll learn from it if it doesn't. And if it does, you know, you've done something innovative and successful. Now, we're going to come back in a minute and hear a bit more from Neil McDonald. But let's have some more music now. And we're going to hear from Free with All Right Now. Hello, this is Patrick Jordan on 10 Radio on our Somerset is Go series, and today's programme is Going Salone from Startup to Success. We've got Elliot Fort from Business Link with us and Becky Bevins, and of course Eddie is in the studio with us. Now, we've been following the story of Somerset cider company Orchard Pig and hearing from their directors about how they started their company and how they've made it a success. We're going to hear another clip from that interview now, and Neil McDonald, one of the two directors, talks to us about the importance of networking.
We're back with Neil McDonald, director of Orchard Pig, and we've been talking about some of Neil's hints and tips for successfully starting up a new business. Now, one of the things that you mentioned to me, Neil, was networking and the importance of that.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right, Patrick. I think, you know, beyond doing your initial plan and thinking it through carefully, there are so many things as an employer or as a self-employed person you need to think about. And the list is endless, and for me to go through that now is difficult. There are some excellent contacts with people like Business Link and that sort of thing, and I would fully recommend going to see them and talk to them or certainly look on their website. But I think the most valuable thing to me has been other businesses and other people in business around you, and finding the time to see the wood for the trees and speaking to other business people, preferably in your own line of business, but just business people in general, you'll find out so much more about what you should be doing or should have done or ought to be doing, or the latest thing that's happening, or, you know, regulation that's changed, or, you know, have you dealt with such legal issue, you know, whether that be health and safety or whether that be food hygiene in our case, or, you know, and where to find that information and who to speak to, what the shortcuts are and how to stay out of the potholes that are so easy to fall into. So if you can find somebody who's been through those potholes or has found a way around them or can tell you how not to fall into them, that is probably the most valuable thing you'll have in growing your business is other business people around
you. And the great thing is you can learn from somebody else's experience, can't you, even their mistakes?
Well, save you a fortune if you can learn from every mistake they made. Yeah, I mean, it's true. And I do try wherever possible, and it's very difficult because you become so affixed to the coal face to find time to stand back and look at your business. They often talk about this helicopter ride, look down on your business, look what you're doing, you know, evaluate whether, you know, you are spending your time correctly, because the one thing you will be absolutely sure of is you will be time poor. Because you're trying to do so many things and cover so many assets, you've got to focus on where you really do need to spend your time. And if you can do that effectively, you'll make a very good business person, there's no doubt about that. If you can do that too by listening to other people and finding where their pitfalls have been and flying over the top of those, you know, that is so valuable and will progress your business very, very quickly.
Great, thanks for those tips, Neil. Thanks very much for taking the time to see us today.
Absolute pleasure. All I can say to all those listeners out there is good luck.
And thank you, and all the best with Orchard Pig in the future.
Thank you.
So that was Neil telling us about the importance of networking. Now, Becky, I understand that you're a member of several local organisations that help you to network. And can you tell us the kinds of things you do and how you get those contacts?
Yep, I think, as you say, I belong to professional memberships. The Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development obviously supports the work that I do, and I'm a member of that. I also do lots of sort of business networking, whether that be business breakfasts or seminars, events, conferences, but also one-to-one networking as well. I find very useful that you meet somebody and that you're able then to form a relationship with that person. If the relationship works, then they're often a sales force and a marketeer on your behalf. So I find those useful as well.
And how did you find out about these networking opportunities? Where did you get that kind of information from?
Again, lots of information, on sort of websites, bits and pieces, places like Chamber of Commerce. Always promote events through from my own, you know, the CIPD organisation that I belong to. Through talking with other businesses and colleagues, you get onto distribution lists, email, and the media as well. There's lots of things out there if you want to go out there and look for it. Often you don't have to look for it; it will drop into you know, an inbox, or you'll get invites, etc. In other ways.
And what are the core benefits you get from this networking? Is it the kind of knowledge, emotional support, actual customers? What kind of things are you gaining from that?
I think all of those things. There's support. It gives you the opportunities to talk to other people that are in business. It gives you the ability to ask questions if there are areas of things that you're not sure of. And often, yes, I guess you build relationships, and ultimately some of those people may well become customers or clients, which and the other way, often you will buy services through people that you've met and grown to know at events to do with networking.
Now, Neil specifically actually mentioned on his interview there the benefit of using Business Link, Elias, and we've obviously touched on that a lot during today's show. If people want to get in touch with you, where should they go?
Okay, they either call the main number, which is 0845 600 9966, and speak to an advisor, or they can visit our website, which is businesslink.gov.uk/southwest. And there's actually a startup section dedicated on that website, which will tell you various tips, some of which we covered today, and can help you get in touch with us.
Okay, and an important thing to emphasise for people who might be thinking, well, what does all this cost, is that it actually doesn't cost anything, does it, to the business owner?
It doesn't cost anything to speak to Business Link. So if you were to call Business Link and say we're starting up, then what we would provide you with would be information, the free workshops, which is worth adding, actually. If you go to the free workshop with other people who are starting up, that's not a bad start of a network.
Yeah,
to sell to each other on. I know people have used it that way. And so we'll give you some diagnosis about what you need, some information, and link you up with people with the expertise. So if we refer you to someone like Becky, for example, you know, no doubt you'll have to pay for the service, but it will be a valuable referral.
Sure.
That's how it works.
And you've got actually kind of approved suppliers list, is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So there is a supply list that we use where the consultants will have been through some kind of assessment. They'll certainly have had to provide references, and it's not just a basic phone book referral. It's a valuable referral.
Okay, and there's also, I mean, I've been on a few courses with you now. I think I've been on the accounts one, which is very good. I've been on one about how to get government work, that was very helpful. And I've been on one about how to market yourself on a very small budget, equally helpful, all free, and really help boost my business. So again, I think we can recommend to anybody listening, you know, try Business Link, because that's a very good place to start. Okay, well, thank you both for coming in. It's been another good show on Somerset Is Go. If anybody out there wants to get in touch to tell us about some of their business issues, please do feel free to email us via the website or to phone us here at 10 Radio. All the information is on the website. That's www.10radio.org. Now, you can listen again to our show on Saturdays, and we've got some more interesting shows coming up. We're going to be on the air for several weeks still, isn't it, Eddie? How many more have we got to go?
Well, we got funding to do these shows for about 6 months, actually, so it's about 26 shows, and we've already done about five or six shows, so we're not doing too bad. And of course, you can also listen again to all our shows, because they're podcasted. If you go to our 10 Radio website at www.10radio.org, go to the Somerset's Go page and you'll find most of our previous broadcasts are there. Things about how to look for work, the Wellington labour market, all sorts of things are there.
So a very useful resource for anybody, not just starting a business, but anybody who's employed or doing anything of a commercial nature. So thanks again, Elliot. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. And thanks, Becky. And that wraps up another edition of Somerset is Go.
This programme has been sponsored by Taunton Deane Borough Council through their Recession Relief Fund. The fund was created to support organisations such as TEM Radio, helping local communities deal with the effects of the economic recession.